Hello and welcome to episode 23 of Life in Hex. I'm Gelada.
And I'm Saffron.
And we're recording late.
We are.
That's the housekeeping. You know, how quick was that jump in? That was...
Well, yeah, we're not messing around this time.
No, we're not.
No, straight into it.
Yeah, we're recording on Sunday, which means that this will have been released on Wednesday for everyone.
Yes, so if you're on your RSS feeds, or you're going on the websites, or you're on the IRC going, where's my episode of Life in Hex?
Where's our show?
It's late.
Oh my god, you noobs. And someone is going to point out that Hack 5 were also late. So,
yes.
You know, honestly, it's coincidence. We don't follow them that closely. We've actually got nothing from their show today.
Have we really? Jeez, yep. That's a new. Mm-hmm. That's a new one.
You've got some life?
I have got some life, and life is that on Wednesday, no, Thursday, I don't even know there are...
Is that the day after the show, then?
It is the day after the show, mm-hmm. So if you're listening to it on the day of the release, it's tomorrow, mm-hmm. So I'm turning 18.
Woohoo!
Woohoo! So, officially an adult.
Woot.
Wow.
Officially can drink.
Yes.
Well, officially can buy drinks.
Which I will be doing.
Mm. Definitely.
When we go out.
Oh, I always said this, like, wear an 18 badge and see if they ask for ID. Just funny. So that'll be good. We're going to some...
Wagamama's.
That's the one. Some Japanese restaurant-y thing.
It's not just Japanese. Well, it's noodles in general.
Noodles. Oodles of noodles.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that's very cool.
It's going to be me, myself, Gelada, Yamara, and Prun.
Cool.
It's going to be good.
Sweet.
And I'm going to buy Yamara lots of sake. Which is Japanese rice wine.
Oh, cool.
It's like the cool thing to drink.
Okay.
But it's quite alcoholic.
Ah, excellent. Get Yamara pissed.
Well, he always looks stoned as it is. So I want to say what he actually looks like when he is drunk and stoned.
All right. We're going to move straight on because we haven't got much else. So, anime section?
Anime section, yes. I've been in a bit of loss recently for anime.
Mm-hmm.
Because... like I keep saying, I'm in the middle of like loads of series. Yep. I'm reading loads of good series that I really want to do reviews for, but I don't really feel the justification to do them until I finish them, which is fair enough.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
You want the full idea of what the anime is about.
Just like when we do a gaming review, you know, we like to get quite far through the game before reviewing.
Exactly. But thing is, if I do keep up with this trend of not doing anything for a while with anime... and just say, like, well, I haven't got anything to review, I'm not going to have an anime section to do, you know. So what I've decided to do is go back to a previous idea that I did back in episode 3, I think.
Three.
That's 20 episodes ago.
Oh, yeah.
When I did my very first manga review, which was of Negima 7, I believe.
Mm. Right.
So
I can't remember that far back. I don't remember any of the shows.
So, yeah, I'm going back to an idea of reviewing a volume of a manga instead of a manga series because otherwise I'm just simply going to run out of ideas. So I'm going to do a review of the first volume of a manga called Shonen Junai Gumi.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that's how you pronounce it.
That looks like that.
Right. Which in the US and, well, the West rather, is also known as GTO The Early Years, because this manga is a predecessor for the manga GTO,
All right. Which
is Great Teacher Onizuka.
Yeah.
Okay. We haven't done a review for that, have we?
No, but you've mentioned it quite a few times, like in news and that sort of thing.
That's really, really random. I thought we would have done a review of that.
There you go.
Maybe something to do next show.
Yes.
The manga is a very, very mighty 31 volumes long.
Holy shit.
That's
big.
You can imagine, right? A normal manga... about that big.
Yeah.
About, I don't know, the size of, what, two fingers?
Yeah.
Stuck together. And there's 31 of these.
Mm.
Now, thing is, I mean, I put this further down. I should have said it now, though. These volumes are fucking huge.
Mm.
They're about that big.
Yeah.
If not that big.
So, for those not watching us, which is everyone except the bird outside.
Sorry.
He's demonstrating that it's about four fingers thick.
It's huge.
I think you've been practicing the drinking, haven't you? You know, you've been measuring things in fingers.
Yeah, pretty much. Sorry. my bad. I'm going to go back to bed. yeah, but seriously, these manga volumes, or takubon as they're called in Japan,
right,
are very, very big. And they're big, hefty manga, which is good because it costs the same amount of money, but you're getting more for your money. That's all good. So, unless you don't already know, because... I mean, you should know GTO, so you should know who the artist is if it's a predecessor of GTO.
Yep.
It was done by Tohoru Fujisawa, who is a really, really good artist.
Yep.
And he does really good plot lines and stories and everything. He's really good. I don't know if he's done anything other than his GTO series, because he's done a series that he did before any of this, which was a short one. Then he did the Shonen Junai Gumi, which I'm talking about now. And then he did GTO manga. But I'm not sure if he's done anything else. He probably has, but I just don't know off the top of my head.
Right, okay.
So, if you know, email us.
Yeah.
The series started in 1990, and it really does show its age. Because, I mean, what, 16 years old now? About that? You know, give or take a few months?
Yeah, it is.
So, you can imagine that some of the pop culture within it is a bit outdated. Mm. But that's because, well, it's a rather old series. Mm. But it was released because the massive amount of popularity GTO had.
Yeah.
It was such a massive popular series. So they thought, well, this was really good, and let's release the predecessor for it instead. Mm-hmm. Or as well as, rather.
Mm.
So that's why they did it, which even though it's quite old. The basic plot outline, it still focuses on the main character from GTO called Ikichi Onizuka, who later on becomes the greatest teacher in the whole Japan, but that's in another series. And his best friend, Ryuji Danma. And it's about when they're teenagers. They're like, I think they're like 15, 16, 17, something like that. Mm-hmm. And they've decided that they've changed schools and they're going to start a new reputation and everything and get themselves maybe more liked, because they're punks, really. Because they're like biker punks. Because back in 1990, it was cool to have big pompadour hair and those massive collars that go...
You mean it isn't anymore?
No.
Oh.
So, yeah. You know these two, if you've read GTO, you know these two characters.
Yeah.
Because they're quite prominent characters in the series. But it shows them their early life. It shows them their life in high school and how, you know, they progress and how things turn out for them. And basically, because obviously it's only a very first volume, you can't really give a general overview of the story because it hasn't really started yet, considering there's 34 volumes.
Yeah.
But what's happened so far, basically, is it's given a background image of how they started off in their new school. How they've met these two teachers who they thought were originally normal teenagers because they lied about their age, but they turned out to be their teachers when they got to this new school. So that was kind of like embarrassing. It's really cool. And it's all about just the mishaps they have. So, you know, at one time, for example, in the series, I don't want to spoil it, obviously, but one time in the manga, you know, you've got Onizuka and this kid who are going to get a haircut, but Onizuka's going to get his pompadour fluffed. Do you know what a pompadour is?
It's like a
big sticky out hair thing.
Yeah.
He wants to go and get his pompadour fluff, and this other kid has to get his hair all shaved off because he's a punk. But the barber gets mixed up, so Onizuka ends up having no hair at all.
Oh, right.
And he's just about to go on a really, really hot date with this girl. So he's stuffed. So he starts wearing a wig. So, yeah, hijinks go from there. So there's not really an overall plot storyline yet.
It's like watching the first like 5 minutes of a film.
Exactly. You don't know what's going to happen, but you get the general gist of, you know, what's going on at the time.
Yeah.
The art style is really old. If you look at it, you would think this is old style Japanese artwork. You know, it's if you've ever seen the original series of things like Dragon Ball or some of the even older series like. I can't think of some on the top of my head that people might know. It doesn't matter. It is really old looking.
Yeah.
The inking looks old, the drawing itself looks old, etc. But that's not a bad thing. It still looks nice. It's an old look to it. But it's very different to the art style they had in GTO. Because in GTO, it was same guy, obviously, but it was very, very different in the way that the art was done. Because it obviously develops as he goes into the series. I mean, I'm sure if you read this whole series of 31 volumes, you're going to see a gradual progression in art style change.
Yeah.
So as he gets better and better, or his budget gets higher. So yeah, it's nice artwork. But if you're expecting the same kind of artwork you had in GTO, you know, you're not going to get it. So don't hold your breath for that. But it's still nice. So I think that's it, because I mentioned the next bit, didn't I?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and last little note, it's very, very funny. It's absolutely hilarious.
Cool.
I mean, honestly, I found myself sitting there. I was sitting there reading it in my room or whatever while I was like waiting for something to download or whatever. And I'm sitting there with my feet up and I'm reading it and I just laugh out loud. Honestly, I do start laughing out loud because I just think it's hilarious. So, God, Americans shouldn't read it. I mean, piss themselves.
Have a heart attack.
I know. We've always said this, haven't we?
Yeah.
Americans think things are funnier than
they are.
We British people do.
We British.
Yes. Because we've got a more developed sense of humour.
Yeah.
Our comedy is better.
Yeah.
We're going to get so many flames for that, aren't we? Overall, I give it a score of 8 out of 10.
Yep.
It's the first volume, so it's just the first impressions of the series.
Yeah.
We don't really know yet. I mean, it could be better, it could be worse.
But the volume, god-awful.
I doubt it. Mm. But yeah, I know what you're saying. So overall, the volume itself, 8 out of 10, could have been better in some of the areas, in the fact that the story seemed to repeat itself slightly in some areas where it just seems like things were very similar to what had just happened, so to speak.
Uh-huh.
But other than that, great series so far. And go and pick it up.
Cool. Okay, you've got some anime news as well, I believe.
I have. It's only little.
Yep.
I don't really know much about it. It's just that I know a lot of people who care about this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's definitely something I should definitely look into. Yeah. That's a good use of the English language there. Yep. Very articulate.
Yep.
Yamara's been watching it recently, I think. I don't know if he's finished it. I think he might have finished it, and Proen's been watching it.
Right.
But he hasn't finished it. He was watching it at the LAN.
Oh, yeah.
You might have seen him watching it, but again, you were asleep while watching The Matrix Reloaded.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
It's the series Full Metal Alchemist. Most anime fans will have heard of this. It's a really big, popular series.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's the games for it have been localized
right.
for the Western audience. And they're going to be released soon. And the first one's going to be released later in the month, which is really, really good.
Cool.
So, if you want to check that out, you know, go and have a look on any gaming sites. I'm sure there's going to be some information on that.
Yep.
Last little bit of anime. I just spotted this, to be honest, on Anime News Network.
Cause yep.
There's they own. They yep. really do. They're
they do.
Cool.
ANN.
So, animenewsnetwork.com. Go and check them out.
Yep.
Give your support. They have a list on there of the top 10 anime and manga as voted by Japanese people.
Right.
I mean, these are experts we're talking about here.
Yeah, Japanese people.
Yeah. Mm. There was 80,000 Japanese people who were
Holy
surveyed.
Shit.
And this is what came out.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to go and check that out, check out tinyurl.com. GWPNV. That's mm-hmm. GWPNV. Yes.
Yes.
It's unsurprising, though, really, who the winners of some of them.
And the winners? Or are you not going to spoil that?
I'm not going to spoil it for you. Go and have a look yourself.
Oh, fine. Okay, so go and check that out and have a look at the top 10 anime and manga as voted by the Japanese people.
And, of course, if you have any comments on that,
then
email us
at show@lifeandnext.com.
No, that you're going to.
Yes.
I hate you all.
Okay, we've got a text section now. And
which, despite looking on the show notes, is apparently short.
Yeah, honest to God, it is not, like, an hour long, so don't worry.
I'm looking at these show notes now, and it's taking up the whole screen.
And there's more to go.
There's more to go down below it.
Yeah, yeah.
So I can't see how you can say this is going to be short.
Trust me. I haven't got any tech news, but I'm going to do... it's sort of like a pointer as to what people might want to do. Yeah, because I haven't done some of the things that I'm actually going to mention.
So you know about it.
But I know about them, and so I think some of our listeners would be really interested in getting their hands dirty in doing some of this. And so the title of this little talk thing is Expanding IRC.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Now, this is the thing I haven't done.
Yeah, bitch.
We beat you to this one.
And so I'm just going to go through a few things that you can do with IRC that you may or may not know about. Because obviously, you know, you may use IRC to chat to us, maybe, you know.
We get a few regulars on
yeah,
the IRC
we do.
Channel.
And so you may use it and you may know a little bit about it, but you may not know, you know, it's been around for a long time.
Wasn't it around, like, pre-56K modems?
Yeah, it was around pre-everything. It was like...
It was like the only thing you could use to,
you know,
to do it on the internet.
There's BBS and then there's IRC, you know, it's sort of like...
Yeah, like all the... What was it? Was it the Usenet stuff?
Yeah. Best news groups, yeah.
The news groups and then you had IRC and that was it.
Yeah.
That was the internet.
Yeah. But it's expanded a lot since it started, and people practically live on it now. I mean, you know, there are just people who will whore IRC the entire time, and there's a huge, you know, social network on IRC. And I know for a fact that lots of people, if they have two monitors, will have IRC on one of the monitors, me included.
Yes, don't forget to include that fact that you do
yeah,
it too.
And I know Moonlit does it as well, and so... So, you know, people use it quite a lot. People use it quite heavily. So I'm just going to go through a few different things and sort of, as I say, exercise to the reader type stuff. So first of all, one of the most useful things you can add onto IRC if you use it regularly is an IRC bouncer. You may have heard of FTP bouncers, which allows you to bounce FTP connections through servers, commonly used by scene members and stuff for transferring files between FTP servers and that. And there are a few big IRC bouncers, and the ones that I know of are PsyBNC, PSYBNC, Meow, I'm really not sure how you pronounce that. It's a variation on one that had a cow on it, and I can't remember what it was. But it's MIAU, and it's a much better version than the one it was built on. CTRL proxy, control proxy, and SBNC. Now, what they basically do is you connect to them, and then the IRC bouncer then connects to the IRC server. The most useful thing about this is that if you disconnect from your bouncer, it keeps you online on the IRC server.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at simplest, this means that you can play idle RPG and win. but at its most complex, you could, if you're an op on a channel and you don't want to have no one on the channel that's an op, you can just leave your IRC bouncer there, and it's just, it can't do anything, but it will stay there keeping the ops on the channel.
Yeah.
And also, certain ones can log everything or just log private messages sent to you, which means that people can leave messages for you. They can obviously log what's going on in the channel, kicks and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I keep saying, and some of them have, I think SBNC is a modular one, so you can add extra things to it. One of the things is it's got a web-based interface, which means that you can check how your bouncer is, what your bouncer's doing from remote. I don't think you can actually like watch the logs or anything.
Yeah.
But you could easily expand it to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore you can check like who's on the channel and what's it doing, and you can tell it to jump servers or leave channels and stuff.
Which is always useful if you're not at your computer and you need to do something on the IRC.
Yeah. Now you can get one, either making one yourself and putting it on a server. There are probably Windows bouncers, but I've never used one. I've only ever used them on Linux. So if you've got a spare Linux server lying around...
As you do. Well, like you do, especially.
you know, you're going to have some... It doesn't take up a lot of memory or CPU or anything to sit there. The only problem with doing that is bouncers are sometimes targeted for denial of service, like people spamming the bouncers.
Yeah.
If they don't have the right sort of security against flooding, which most of them do... then you could like get your internet connection knocked off the net by like being flooded. And
which would suck.
And if you're like sharing the internet with your family or something, you know, they're going to be wondering why the hell their internet's going slow because you've been flooded by some script kiddie on an IRC network. I've never ever had it. I've got an IRC bouncer sitting on QuakeNet, and I've got an IRC bouncer sitting on Hack5. But the other method, which is a bit safer, is to use an IRC bouncer provider for a small cost, for a small fee. You can either have a whole shell account, which is where you get a Linux terminal on someone's server somewhere, and you can run a bot or you can run a bouncer or something. So you could either do that, or you can get one that is just an IRC bouncer. They're normally dirt cheap. My one that I've got that isn't mine is hosted at reloadnetwork.co.uk. Now, they don't do bouncers anymore, but mine's still there. I don't know what's going to happen when it runs out. I think it should have run out because I paid for a year, and it was like 15 quid or something for a year.
Yeah.
It's absolutely, you know, it's pennies. But I'm not sure what happens when it's going to run out, and they're notoriously unreliable. But, you know, you can do that if you don't want to take the risk doing it yourself.
Yeah, which makes sense.
Or if you haven't got a Linux server that you can leave running. Or if you've got an unstable connection, it kind of defeats the object of having an IRC bouncer. Or if you want to be able to go around someone else's house and connect to your IRC bouncer. Because that's the other thing. It means that wherever you are, you can connect to your IRC bouncer and it won't appear like you've gone off and gone on somewhere else or anything. You'll always be, you'll be transparently on whatever, you know, it'll look like you're always on IRC from the same place. So that's IRC bouncers. Now, these come into play a lot with the few next things that I'm going to be mentioning. The next thing is a program that not many people know about, surprisingly, and it's called Bitlbee.
Which is cool.
It is. B-I-T-L-B-E-E. Links, obviously, all on the website. And what it is it's an IRC to IM gateway. That's instant messaging gateway. It makes an IRC network with one channel. And you add all your instant messaging accounts, and it supports MSN, AIM, YIM, and ICQ. And it's pretty full-featured. It's got pretty much all the features that you get in the instant messengers. I think file transfers sometimes work for certain networks. And I think someone made a webcam thing for it. You, obviously, there's no graphics, but someone made a thing where it converted the webcam to ASCII. And so you were looking, you were looking at an ASCII picture of someone's webcam.
That's so cool.
It's not in the main bit. It'll be, you've got to get like the severely hacked, newest, bleeding edge one with like this library that breaks all the time. But I saw a screenshot of where someone's got like an XChat window and they've got like this webcam picture in ASCII.
That's so cool.
So that's pretty good. And there's a lot of community patches. For example, there's a patch where if you use the IRC client IRSSI, which is a Linux text-based IRC client, very popular, then you can have the person is typing message in MSN. Yeah. You can actually have that in there. It will put in the little IRSSI status thing, such and such is typing a message. Really useful. I used to use that. The only problem was that every time I started up IRSSI, I'd have to like reload the module. Otherwise, when I was talking to someone, it would keep coming up with messages rather than coming up in the status window. Yeah. Really weird. That's another point, actually, I haven't mentioned. With the IRC bouncers, you can make a really simple IRC bouncer by getting like IRSSI, a text-based IRC client, and running it in screen. And so you can just attach from screen and it keeps IRSSI running.
Yeah.
That's another way of doing it. Anyway, you can run BittleBee on its own using either as a standalone listening daemon, or you can use it through INetD, which means it launches whenever someone connects to the port. Or you can use it with a bouncer, which means that you will be always on your instant messaging networks. Mm. So people can leave messages for you, which come up as private messages. And using the bouncers we mentioned earlier, you will get a log of all the messages.
Yeah, you record them so you can have a look through.
And you will get auto away. So whenever you quit from IRC, it'll automatically go onto away, automatically start logging. And bingo, you've got like 24/7 MSN always on. People can always leave messages for you. But here's an example of an exercise for the listeners. As I said, you know, try and expand this. See if you can get BittleBee to be an auto away for instant messaging. So what you could, so you use, because obviously the disadvantage of BittleBee is that it's not fully featured like an MSN.
No, it's just it's still just IRC.
Yeah. So say you still wanted to use MSN as normal, but you wanted this 24/7 auto away type logging thing. You could either leave your computer on, or you could use BittleBee because it's cool. And use your imagination about how you could do this. It is possible. There's no reason why not. I've never done it myself, but I'm sure there's a way. My couple of suggestions are that you could have two MSN accounts, use your normal one, and then have a spare one that BittleBee sits on and just has one contact, which is you. And when you sign off, you've got a little script somewhere in the lines that checks when you sign off, because BittleBee is easily recodable because there's loads of code and stuff to edit it. I've edited a bit of it before and I don't even write in C. So and so watch for when you sign off and then sign on to your account again and set you to away.
Yeah.
Easily done. You could also combine this with IRC bots, which I'm going to mention in a bit. And you could have an IRC bot that's running on MSN, because you can actually do that. You can set up bots to run that, obviously. Yeah. And you can chat to your bot, if you like, and say, like, going offline. And then it will automatically take over, because you know when you, if you sign on to MSN on another computer, it actually kind of transparently swaps them over.
Yeah,
people
does.
Don't see that you go offline. It could actually do that. It could then, you say, I'm going offline to your bot, and then your bot fires up BittleBee, cuts you out, automatically logs you on, and then BittleBee sitting there logging for you.
Yeah.
Bingo. And then when you come back, when you sign on, obviously BittleBee just gets automatically transferred back.
Yeah.
Then you could even get the bot, when you sign back on, to come back and say, hey, here's the log, so that you don't have to sign on to BittleBee.
Which would be very cool. Be very
I've
useful.
Never done that. But
no,
it's,
you should.
As I try. You know, it's easily possible. There's no reason why not. Okay, so that's BittleBee. Very cool. Go and check it out. Now, the next thing, which again you can combine with all the different things, is CGI IRC. Now, this is kind of like, does what it says on the tin, Ron Seal type thing,
I don't think the Americans are going to get that.
Yeah,
sure.
Never mind. And it's different to Java IRC clients, because you get Java IRC clients in a web browser. But CGI IRC makes the connection from wherever it is. So say you put it on your home server that's also got BittleBee or whatever running, and then you forward the web server that CGI IRC is running on out onto the internet. You can go anywhere, hook up to CGI IRC, hook up to your bouncer on that same thing. Hook up to Bitlebee, and you've got a web-based MSN client. Now, I know you can use, like, Meebo and stuff or whatever, but I hate Meebo. I don't trust them. I do not trust giving my password to random people to sign onto MSN for me. I don't believe in it.
Or you could just use the MSN web-based messenger.
Yeah, but that's sometimes banned at places, like school and stuff.
It's not.
Well, it's banned at...
Is it?
Yes. This also means that if you're somewhere where there's a proxy,
yeah,
that doesn't allow IRC connections, it only allows HTTP, most schools, then this will work because it's CGI. It works surprisingly well, so long as you go into the config and because it's for your own private use, disable all of the things that are security-based, so like you can't run certain commands and stuff, because bouncers will need you to type in a password using a quote command. Mm-hmm. Some bouncers will accept the server password config type thing, but some you will have to do this. You'll have to type your password in Bitlebee, for example. So you want CGI IRC to kind of remove all its security problems and just make sure there's a password on the web server. Also make sure you're using SSL, because IRC is all plain text. So CGI IRC then combines later on with the next couple of things I'm mentioning. I'm gradually building up. You see, I started off with bouncers, then Bitlebee, then CGI IRC.
Which all build on each other.
Now the next thing is IRC bots. And they are scripts or programs that sit on an IRC channel and do whatever you want.
Whatever you program them to do.
Yeah. Now, there are loads of pre-written bots out there, such as Eggdrop, which is the one that I use for channel monitoring and stuff, channel bots. And also Energy Mech, which is notoriously used by script kiddies because it's got fserve stuff and you can run it on multiple networks and that sort of thing.
Fucking script kiddies.
Yep. It's a good... I've never actually used it, but it's apparently quite good. But you can easily write an IRC bot in your own language, whatever you use.
Yeah.
So if you want, you can write your own, or you can expand on one of the ones already made. And as I say, you know, most bots out there are expandable, especially Eggdrop, which uses TCL, which is a god-awful language. I hate it. But obviously, there's lots of different types of IRC bots. So you can have, like, chat bots, like we got in Clandair.
Yeah.
A couple of chat bots that are a bit kinky as well. You can also get like channel protection bots protecting against floods and all
that
manner
like,
of attacks.
L in yep. their thing,
and also Lara and Clam act as channel bots.
Okay,
because they act as against floods. They will op. Well, they won't actually. They'll op each other. They'll protect each other from losing ops.
As we've seen.
Yeah, as we've definitely seen with
as
the
we've demonstrated on the show.
Yeah, but you can also have information bots, which I've put little stars around because it's important. And so anything that you can sort of pipe to an output, you could pipe to IRC. So RSS feeds.
So you get a bot to report on things like this in the channel.
RSS feeds, your email, status of computers, Nmap scans, you know, anything you like. And then you could also, as I've said, you could combine this with Bitlebee. And you could, well, you don't even need to combine it with Bitlebee for crying out loud, because Eggdrop actually has an expandable module that allows you to put it on IM networks, and it will work with IM networks.
All right.
So, and then you can use all the stuff that you would normally use in IRC for Eggdrop will then work on MSN. So you can have like the same chatbot type things on MSN.
That's so cool.
Yeah. I was always thinking of putting like Lara on MSN as well as IRC, and like, because you can get it to relay as well. So you can like relay channels to other channels.
Right.
So you could relay IRC out to MSN and vice versa. So you could connect to MSN, chat to this bot, and it's chatting in IRC. Relaying for you. Crazy shit like that. Now bring it all together, and the most advanced thing is to have your own IRC network. And there's no reason why not. It's just a bit weird, but there is a reason why. And you can combine all of the previous things. So you can combine IRC bots, CGI IRC, Bitlebee, and bouncers, and you could have information bots relaying onto your own private IRC network anything you like, anything you can relay in text. So your email, RSS, anything like that, commands, you can tell it to shut down computers that it's sitting on and all this sort of thing, relay to people on
when
other
you,
IRC
what
networks.
What are you
going to
do this on with your phone?
Yeah, it was a similar thing. This is another way of doing it. I was actually going to have a thing that checked an email address every 5 minutes for commands with a password and then would actually run the commands. So this is like a similar way of doing it, essentially, remote administration through IRC.
Yeah.
No reason why not. Because technically you could have a shell on IRC where you type commands and it types commands in bash. Bit insecure, but if it's on your own private network
and you're not porting
it out, because the idea is that if you have a bouncer hooked up to this IRC network and CGI IRC through SSL, you've got encrypted IRC back to your house, back to your home network, your own private IRC network, and no one could get on because you've got like three sets of passwords to go through. Password for the web server, password for IRC, blah, blah, blah. And then wherever you are, you can type in a web address and you've got all your information on a private IRC network. Or if you're at home and you've got the dual monitor geekiness where you live on IRC, you can have another window with your IRC network, IRC channel, or your bots relaying information for you on your other screen. It may sound weird to people who don't use IRC all the time, but to people who do and to people who live on IRC, this is just like, yeah, just put everything on IRC. You know, they just like control their computer by IRC and all this sort of thing.
If you really
order
want
pizza
to,
by IRC.
Well, you could do.
Well, it's like, it's a bit like Emacs, where people use Emacs, the text editor, for like checking email, playing games, going on news groups and stuff, because it's so combinable.
Yeah.
This is a similar thing. Now, to conclude, I've only really scratched the surface with like the cool stuff you can do with IRC. And so, as I've written in the show notes, I leave this as an exercise to the reader, which is, in other words, of saying, I haven't done it myself, please do it for me.
Before you said that, you sounded like something out of the Matrix.
Really?
Yes. So, like, I leave this decision to you.
Oh, yes. So, please, like, let us know how you get on.
They won't.
Well, try it anyway. Look, some people might on the forum. I can imagine Moonlit going away and doing some of this, because he's an IRC.
Yeah, I'm sure he will, but Moonlit doesn't count.
Doesn't count what? Like one, two, three?
Oh, haha. Very funny, not. He doesn't count in terms of emailing us, because like he always emails us.
Mm. So yeah, so, you know, I've only scratched the surface. I mean, there's other things. Just sitting here, I'm thinking of new things. Like you could control your BitTorrent client by IRC, by an IRC bot. So you can add torrents by IRC. Like wherever you are, you can start your, you know, it's just like... It's a way of consolidating things, and it's just cool.
I was going to say, it's just a cool thing to do.
It's a cool
Most of the things you report on in the tech section are just useless.
Yeah, but cool.
But cool, because you can do them in so many easier ways, but they're just cool to do.
The other thing is that because you can write your own IRC bots and stuff, it's a good learning experience.
Yeah.
Like, you know, setting up CGI IRC means setting up a web server if you haven't done before. Setting up an IRC network, I mean, that's probably not easy. I've never done it before. Yeah. You know, write your own IRC bots and everything. So let us know how you get on with that. Okay, we got some music now, because I've got no tech news stuff. That's what dig.com's for. So we have, yeah.
And /dot.
And /dot.
And all the other millions and of tech sites. Yeah. So yeah, music.
Music, we have. We have some more blues rock.
We have indeed, because it's our genre of the year. Maybe we should have a genre every year, every season.
Every season.
Of Life in Hex.
Yeah. So we've got some music now. This is Stingray without a W in it. So it's Stingray with For Your Life. And go and check out his website.
Their website. It's a band.
Is it?
Yes. Oh, you see the picture?
Oh, yeah, of course it is. Go and check out their website at www.stingrayonline.com.
That's Sting and R-A-Y, not W-A-R-A-Y.
Yeah. So thank you again to music.podshow.com for... providing us, as in going and searching on your crappy website with your crappy flash and Mix Wizard talking to me.
Hello, Mix Wizard.
Go and check out music.podshow.com for some free music, especially if you host a podcast, because we'll catch you back after this with some gaming.
With some gaming, and then
the end of the show.
Wrap the show.
Yes.
Stars crossed in the 12th grade. Didn't know it was love we made. Didn't know it could hurt so much to part. Tell you when you went to laugh about pain. When you went away, I felt everything we ever had. Staring out of the jet plane, steel wings fly safely back to me. Yeah, darling, I would gladly give my life to you. 6 feet in the ground, baby. 25 in the line. Headstones look the same, darling. Tell me what I'm looking for. wake up to the sound of a wreck and the light from the flame. You wouldn't be the only one I've loved who went that way. Just like giving sight to a blind man, turning everything to gray. I have found the clarity of love, don't take the loved away. Yeah, darling, I will gladly give my life to you. 6 feet to the ground, baby.
Okay, welcome back.
Welcome back.
We hope you enjoyed Stingray with For Your Life.
It was cool. I mean, we were listening to it and we're like, yeah, it's cool. Yeah, it's it was in the background and we're like, well, we're still listening to it, so yeah, it must be pretty good.
It must be good. Okay, we got quite a bit of gaming.
I wrote all this.
Yeah, so.
Because you were a lazy sod.
Yep.
And made me write all the show notes, really, this time, apart from your tech section.
Yep.
So, yeah, we got a rather lengthy gaming section. That's only because the review looks long, but don't forget, you know, we don't have to read everything on the review.
Yep.
So, now, we were going to talk about Community of Heroes, since it just came out.
Yep.
But neither of us played it a massive amount.
No.
I mean, you've played it more than I have, but we still haven't played it lots.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't really know much about it yet.
We haven't even been online with it.
No, so we can't really report on it.
Yep.
So possibly next episode?
Yeah, probably next
Maybe
episode.
Maybe if we've got time next episode with other things we've got planned. So we're going to do a review of a game that we've both been playing a lot of.
We have.
Surprisingly.
Yep.
Because, I mean, kind of
sucks
in a bit, in a way, but it's also super addictive in other ways.
Yep.
We've both been playing it a lot, so we have good ideas. So we're going to do like maybe a joint review for once.
Yay!
Because we usually do a separate review each, but we're going to do a joint review.
Yep.
And we're going to review of...
Just Cause.
Just Cause. Okay, let's give a basic background on the story.
Yep.
It's about this CIA agent who's been put into a fascist-oppressed South American island country called San Espirito. And he's like... Our mission is to create wars between the factions and everything, and cause like
the police, the guerrillas, and like,
the drug gangs are all fighting each other.
Mm-hmm.
So it starts off with you coming into this island, and you've got to start doing these missions and everything. But the missions aren't really there; you don't have to follow them, do you?
No, you don't. You can just go and ask around.
You can go from the very get go. As soon as you've done the first mission, you can just ask around.
Mm.
So. I think we need to clarify this before we start so people understand what we're on about. Mm. This game, think GTA.
Yeah, think GTA.
If you don't know about it, it's GTA basically, but on a bigger scale.
Yeah.
So, because we can talk about the some more technical things of it, like how big it is later on in the game, like when we go to the presentation section. But basically, it's all about basically just freeform stuff, isn't it? So, the story isn't really... very important.
No.
But you can follow it, and the more you follow it, the more advanced you get, and more stuff you get access to, etc.
Yeah.
So, but we both agree
definitely
that what I wrote next is that towards the end of the game, about the last quarter of the story, the script gets really, really bad. And it's obviously that the writers of this story either got bored or just ran out of ideas.
Yeah.
Because things got just stupid and silly and pointless. And
but, I mean, all the missions are practically the same anyway. They're all about, like, blowing stuff up, killing someone,
it's
whatever.
Like, go here, kill this person, / blow this up, run away.
Yeah.
It's all the same.
Yeah. And all the side missions are all the same. They're like, liberate or get this, come back.
Get this, come back, shoot this person, come back, etc.
Yeah.
It's all very similar. The writers must have...
It's very repetitive.
It's very repetitive, but somehow strangely addictive.
Yeah.
Which is weird. But it's all right. It's just towards the end, it just gets silly.
Anyway, that's the story. And we said about 5 out of 10 for the story, yeah, simply because it's just...
crap.
Yeah. At least there is a story.
There's a story there. It's an attempt to be
funny. There's a theme
funny
to the game. You know, there's a reason why you're there, but it's just pathetic.
And there are some funny points.
Yeah, there
and
are.
There's some crazy points.
Yeah.
And blatant fan service points.
Yeah.
But yeah, story kind of sucks, but it's not bad.
Yep.
So moving on to the graphics. Would you like to do this?
Yeah, sure. It's a very nice looking game. It is from the Xbox 360 game generation. So it's got heavy use of, you know, bloom and blur. I mean, literally, you know, you rotate the camera and his hair blurs. You know, there's motion blur
stupid
on his hair. It's everywhere you go, you just walk along and there's motion blur. So, you know,
There's the heat shimmer.
And, you know, there are some really... the explosion effects are actually really quite nice.
They're very nice, yeah.
I would not, you know, I wouldn't fault the explosions. They could still be like Fear. We've always said this, but they are nice explosions. They're better than, I don't know, think of some explosions. BF2 explosions are pants.
Oh,
yeah? Because the thing just, like, it's just one explosion, and then it changes to a different model, and then it vanishes.
Missile.
Yeah, but with this, like, if you're in one of the big helis with 4 missiles, and, like, especially the...
Chimera.
Yeah, and the prototype, like, Delta
helicopter
the Chimera
thing.
Oh, is that what that is? Oh, yeah, Delta Chimera. Those missiles are almost like, they look like semi-nuke type explosions, because they've got like a force effect going out of them,
yeah,
like a ring effect going out. I mean, that's really nice. It's a nice...
it looks nice.
It's a nice looking game. But as you've said on the show notes, there is some very nasty and noticeable pop-up when you're traveling above a moderate speed or if you're flying along. What's quite nice is when you're really high up in a plane, the island isn't popping up. You know, you don't.
The whole island is visible.
You don't. I mean, there's fog, obviously.
Fog
clouds. But the clouds are really nice, and you know, you don't actually see any trees drawing or anything.
No, it gets rid of them.
What it sort of does is it sort of pops to low resolution trees, doesn't it? And then sort of
super low resolution
trees. But the only thing I would say about that is if you're flying moderately low, and you can't see any cars, they aren't actually there. There are no cars there.
No.
So if you shoot down there, you won't hit anything. You're not going to hit any cars. And the problem with that is it means you have to fly really low to be able to, like, bring the cars into view.
Because I'm often
going along, like, a main road looking for one of the superbikes.
As you do.
Yeah, as you do.
Going
along, and you have to fly quite low to actually, you know, so that you can see. And then because they're fairly low detail when you're quite, you know, when you're flying along, it's hard to actually spot what's the difference. The other thing I've noticed is there's some nasty bug pop-up. When you're driving along, if there's a car quite far in the distance, I don't know if you get this, but like half the car is slightly to the right of the car. Yeah, I get like a little bit, and then when I get closer, it suddenly pops up and the car appears properly.
The other thing
I've seen with a sniper rifle, like...
hate that.
Somehow I've managed to get on top of a street lamp, and then I'm looking down the main road, and you look down and like the car bonnets aren't there until it gets closer to you, and then the car bonnet appears. So there is some nasty pop-up, but
one of the pop-ups I've had in terms of graphics is, for some reason, it mainly happens with bikers, is that their head seem to be drawn to mine. So you'll have like a big stretched version of their head across the screen.
That's weird.
And if you move your camera, it will stretch it with it until you take it off camera.
That's odd. So maybe there are some graphical glitches with certain drivers and graphics cards. Maybe. Because I've got some strange car pop-up, half car pop-up, and you've got some strange like... almost like infinite model type stretching going on and dodgy shadow effects and stuff.
And imagine this is all due to the port.
Yeah, maybe, because it's an Xbox 360 port and everything. Yeah.
So,
but other than that, the graphics are very nice.
The
textures are average, but the models are really high detail and the cars look nice and they destroy quite nice. I mean, it's not like Flower 2 type destruction, but nevertheless, they still destroy nice.
They look nice and everything.
You know, it's a game you can show off, look at the graphics of this game sort of thing. It's not something you're ashamed to show.
No, it's a nice little game. Mm. I mean, it's not groundbreaking, but it's nice.
It's nice, yep. Okay.
So the next thing we've got is the sound. Mm-hmm. Now, I'll do this. Mm-hmm. Can you just do that one?
Yep.
So we're taking turns. Mm-hmm. The sound. Now, initially, the music scores for the game are very cool.
Yeah, and also, comparing to something like Oblivion, I know this sounds really weird, but in Oblivion, one of the big issues people had with the sound was the moment you got into a battle, the battle music kicks right in abruptly, and then when you kill it, the battle music just stops and goes back to the ambient background music. With this, it fades in as you speed up when you're driving along.
Exactly. Which I was just about to mention what you thought. Yeah. About. Not in the same, but what I mean, I'm going to explain the speeding So, you're very right in that the music in the game is very cool and it sounds nice and it kicks in at certain times, like you said. Mm-hmm. So if you're speeding along, say, like quite a fast speed, say on a bike or on a fast car, some music will kick in. Or if you're flying along, the music will kick in. Yeah. Or if you're boating along?
Sailing.
Sailing, that's the one. Mm-hmm. That's the verb for moving on water, isn't it? Sailing. I couldn't think of it when I was writing the show notes. Yeah. That's what I said.
On a boat.
on a boat. that'll kick in then. So it's all got like separate music for different actions. Yeah. And like you said, it kicks in generally and then just fades out generally.
Fades in and out,
so it's believable. But the problem with this is that it gets repetitive very quickly. It's like you're always traveling at fast speed. Mm. You're always liberating something.
And they're almost like sound clips, like loops, rather than actual tracks.
They are, yeah.
Because if you compare, again, I know it's really weird to make a comparison to Oblivion, but I've always thought that the soundtrack for Oblivion is awesome, Jeremy Soule. And if you actually listen to the soundtrack, which I've got, they are actually quite long. They're like 2-3 minute long songs.
Yeah.
So it doesn't get as... I don't know about you, but I found the Oblivion music didn't really get repetitive at all. The battle music got repetitive. But the outside music didn't really get repetitive because it's really nice. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of... It's not... It repeats, but it seems to repeat in a way that you don't really notice.
Well, I like repeating background music. Mm. You know, without noticing repeating, simply because, like, I mean, I play, you know, MMOs all the time. I play RO and I have the background music on, so... I'm used to background music repeating itself, but I like it. The game's music isn't great. Mm. But that's not the only thing about the sound. Mm. The voice acting for the cutscenes is very nice and clean.
Unlike the models, which are just pathetic. Well, they're overly clean, because they're just like...
Actually, we should sort them in the graphics,
they're
we?
Toy Story models, essentially.
Yeah, the models in the cutscenes look a bit...
Naff.
Yeah.
Like amateur CG
everything's
department.
Everything's very rounded.
Yeah, it's really dodgy.
But the voice acting is very, very nice. It's very clean.
Surprisingly, for the game, you wouldn't expect good voiceovers... If that makes sense. Voice clips, you've written. Yeah, that's the right word. You know, you wouldn't really think that they would have done any good for the cutscenes because it's like a free-form game, but they actually surprisingly
did. The cutscenes are very nice, and they're very clean and everything. But and the voice clips for people in-game, playing, are very nice. They're good quality.
Yeah.
And they're good in the way that as you get further away, they do get quieter, which is nice.
And also, they usually... only kick in when you're very close to someone. Like, you've actually got to be walking around amongst people for you to hear what they're saying, which is quite nice. It's a very GTA type thing.
But we have some problems with this. First of all, after a while, and sure, they're funny and cool at first, they repeat themselves, and you will hear over and over and over again. And it's like, I mean, I'm walking around like a village and you'll hear the same thing being said to like a damn mosquito, someday I'll get you. And you hear it like 3 times in the same village. Mm-hmm. And you're like, what?
Oblivion.
Yeah, exactly. Oblivion again. Exactly. And also, there's this weird bug which I'm constantly having. I don't know about you.
I get it as well,
Where you can be doing something. It's mainly the police, and you'll hear it in your ear, or your ears, or whatever. The police shouting at you to stop and telling you to, like...
Even if you're in, like, a heli miles up.
You're not doing anything. Yeah. The police aren't even on your tail.
I think it's something to do with the fact that... Because I never noticed it at the start when I first started playing the game. And I reckon it's because the more you're liberating, the police are actually saying that to the guerrillas, that they're...
They are.
Yeah.
I know. Yes, they're doing that.
But for some reason, all of the police is right in your ear, as if they're right next to you.
As if they're standing right next to you, shouting at you, instead of just, like, in the background.
Even if you're driving along really fast, normally the voices fade away, but the police ones don't, even if you're driving along, like, and you zoom past, you can still hear it.
Clearly.
Yeah.
Which is weird, and it's not very good. It's boring. And, I mean, plus the voices aren't great. I mean, it's like a hybrid of Spanish and English.
Which is the whole joke about it, and it's amusing, And also, finally, all the weapon sounds are practically the same.
They are. I mean...
The weapons are all practically the same full stop, really, aren't
pretty
they?
Pretty much. So the weapons sound the same. So the sound in the game is all right, but it's... Mm. So overall, we give that a 5 out of 10.
Yep. Finally, the presentation, which is just a quick bit. And as you've written, and I didn't really think about this, but the Xbox version came out better with this. Now, we're not sure. We're talking about... it's the pre-orders and early buyers for Just Cause got a free Just Cause t-shirt, red t-shirt.
The Xbox version.
Yeah, the Xbox version. Because the Shamus had that at his LAN, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not actually sure whether that was all copies of the game or whether it was just because he pre-ordered it from, like, Game or something.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's just where you bought it from or something.
Mm. But anyway, nevertheless, that's a side presentation point. But also, as you've said, it's a really small, flimsy manual, you know, and... One of the things about the presentation, I think, the fact that it's a port from the Xbox 360...
They haven't really cared much.
They haven't really cared about the PC presentation. So, for example, like the menu system, that's kind of presentation. The menu system is the Xbox menu system. So when you
haven't even bothered changing it to a PC menu.
So when you're saving, you have save slots, and you have... It's like checking storage device. It's a hard disk. It's going to be there. Don't worry.
You know, it's looking for an Xbox
memory
card or whatever.
Hard disk where their hard disks are smaller and stuff. And it's like,
it's on a hard drive on a computer. It's going to be able to save.
It's
going to
be there. So that kind of sucks.
They didn't really bother porting it properly. It really was a straight port. It was
something the Sharma said. We haven't put it in here. But we have mentioned about all the bugs that are in the game, and we're mentioning it in the overall, but I'll forget if I don't mention it now, is that the Sharma said, make sure that we mention that the bugs in the PC version, like the crashes and stuff, I haven't had too many, but I've had a couple where it's just crashed. He said they are not limited to the PC version. The Xbox version crashes a lot
Yeah, on the forum, he said that he was doing a mission, it like crashed
it
or something.
It freezes the Xbox. You get the same sort of, like, you respawn in the garage type bugs and all that sort of thing. It's not a PC-only bug thing.
Yeah. But like we keep saying... on the forum, the bugs make it almost fun.
Yeah, and also the repetitiveness. If you can actually... This was something the IGN UK review said, was that if you can use your imagination to make up fun things, then the game becomes a lot better. Like, for example, you know, finding like the fastest chopper in the game and stuff and doing loop-the-loops in the chopper. So it's a good exploration and sandbox game, a bit like the GTA, but it's extremely unrealistic, you know, like infinite parachutes and everything.
Yeah, your parachute... instantly goes back into your backpack. Where you don't have a backpack.
Yeah, what backpack?
It just like falls into your body.
Rocket propelled grenade, shotgun, like three pistols, a backpack, and a grappling hook that's like infinitely long.
But, so they're bugs that are just pissing annoying.
But they
funny
make the game
well.
Fun.
So yeah, presentation, we give it a 4 out of 10.
Yeah.
Because it kind of sucky.
And overall means we've been talking overall stuff as well. We give it a... What do you give it?
I give it a 6 out of 10.
Yep, and I give it a 7 out of 10.
I don't think it's worthy of 7 out of 10.
Well, I think it's worthy of more than 6, that's all. I think like 6.5. Simply because I've just had a lot of fun playing it. You know, there's
not... Well, so have I, but it's not worth
I guess I just don't get as frustrated as you by the bugs. I just don't mind them so much.
It makes the game so much less enjoyable. Mm.
I would suggest if you've got an Xbox or an Xbox 360, rent it. Because
it's
a rental game.
Don't bother with missions, just go and piss about.
Yeah, go and piss about in planes and stuff. And wait until like a map comes out on game FAQs, because there isn't anything yet.
No,
wait until a map comes out with where all the top vehicles are and stuff, and then like just piss about with that.
Yeah.
Okay, what we'll do is, because we're like desperately running out of time, because Seth has to go to work soon, and we're on 1 hour 18 close to...
Shit, really?
So, yeah, so we're going to run through the news by doing this. Star Wars Empire at War Forces of Corruption is going to be released on the 16th of October. The demo is available now. Go and check out tinyurl.com/PQSVH. The multiplayer demo of Battlefield 2142 was released on Friday. Get it through the EA Downloader or other gaming websites.
Like
FilePlanet and 3D Gamers, that sort of thing.
That about wraps up the show.
Yep.
Because we're running out of time.
Well, that's why we're going so fast.
Yeah. So we've got some plugs and shouts.
We have.
Well, I mainly have.
Go and check out revision3.com. They made... that's Kevin Rose and Alex Albrecht and that. So Dignation, The Broken System, InDigital, Controller Chicken, all of them sort of things. Basically, they've just like got a ton of new shows. They had a big like Revision 3 party thing, and it was really hyped up on the web. They got loads of new shows. I've downloaded about four, but haven't watched any of them yet. I've watched the start of The Broken, which I must say looked pretty shit. But anyway, but the website is really nice. It's a really nice website.
Revision3.com.
Mm-hmm. And as you put, sexy stuff, wink. we got some shouts.
We have got some shouts indeed. Mm-hmm. First of all, shout out to Stingray, mm-hmm. who I spelt wrong.
Yeah, you spelt his name wrong. It's got a W in it.
So basically the guys who did the music for us.
Yeah.
Who is off to the big scary world of university.
Well, he is at the big scary world of university because he's there. So.
Yeah, true. So good luck with that, man. Let us know.
How you get on.
How you get on.
What,
you know,
the course is like.
Yeah, if you're enjoying it, if you're hating it, etc. Mm-hmm. How life is, etc.
How expensive it is, yeah. In London.
So keep us updated on the forum and very good luck to you.
Indeed.
Another good luck. Good luck, little shout.
Yep. To, everyone's leaving us.
I know. Don't blame them. Is to Yamara,
yep.
Who has been confirmed who's moving to the land down under.
That's Australia.
It is. Because he's been trying to move, well, his parents have been planning on moving there for a bloody long time now, but he's finally confirmed that he's going to move soon.
They've sold the house.
So, sometime in November.
Mm-hmm.
So, have fun, and we'll miss you.
Yep, we will indeed.
Because you're a cool guy.
Well, you are.
You own.
Yeah. I got a couple of shouts, because I asked people on IRC if they wanted any shouts. So, shouts to the regulars on the forum and IRC. And shouts, because these are the people who responded, to Garda for being hot. And any girl who thinks otherwise, any girl who thinks otherwise is missing out. That's what he said.
You certainly didn't say that.
I did not say that. That was him. And also, finally, to Moonlit for being Moonlit.
Yeah, so Moonlit should know about God being hot.
Yeah, because Moonlit's a fango.
Yeah.
Moonlit's a fango. All right, that's, yeah, that does wrap up.
That is the end of the show.
That is the end of the show. So, sorry for it being a day late, but,
Better late than crappy quality.
And never.
No, we're not going to never do it. It's just a better late than crappy quality.
Yeah. Okay. Come check us out. Email us, show@lifeinhex.com.
Come visit on the IRC at irc.hack5.org on the Life in Hex channel.
Yep. And check us out on the forums, which is on our website, lifeinhex.com. And everything else, Ventrilo, TeamSpeak, MSN, Skype, X5, blah, blah, blah.
Whatever.
Yep.
Contact us.
Yes. And
send us a pigeon mail.
Yeah. Send us a snail mail. Actually, don't, because we haven't got a PO box yet.
Sorry.
Hope you've enjoyed episode 23, not 24. catch you in
2 weeks' time.
We are a bi-weekly show. Despite what you say, I looked it up. We are a bi-weekly show.
We're a bi-monthly show. We're bi-weekly.
Look it up.
No.
Last episode, you were going bi-monthly. When I edited it, I looked it up on the web. We are bi-weekly, not bi-monthly.
No, bi-monthly, because we're twice a month.
Look it up. I've been Gelada.
I've been Seth.
And we'll still be Gelada and Seth next episode.
Probably.
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
Goodbye.
It's a very console style, and they didn't brother.
And I imagine maybe Stingray.com was taken by Stingray. Stingray.
You suck. Don't email us.
Probably not, because people don't email it.
That's true. Ah, we can say whatever you like. She's not going to say anything. But then they might stop listening together.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. We're already kidding. We love you.
There goes our American audience.
What a shame. No, I'm kidding.